Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today is...
Brent McBride.
Brent McBride. Why don't you take a second and introduce yourself?
Well, I'm Brent McBride from the Master Data Services team, and I'm an engineer.
Okay. And the SQL Server team, correct?
Yes.
So, tell me a little bit about Master Data. How well, I mean, this has been in SQL Server since...
What?
2008 R2. How well is it being used, and what are people actually using it for? Because you're here to talk about kind of what's new in 2016.
Right.
But give us an overview of really what Master Data Services is, and you know, do you see a lot of people using it? What are people using it for?
Well, they use it to manage their master data.
Master data.
Right, and master data is simply, in a nutshell, it's the set of data objects that are at the center of business activities. Or in other words, it's the nouns of the business, right?
And, yep.
It's typically shared across multiple systems and applications, and it needs to be actively, proactively managed and curated.
And the reason I ask that is because you still see some confusion from people really what it is, or is it fairly well known?
I don't see too much, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Okay. I'm just, out of curiosity question, because you've got a bunch of different services. What's the other one? Is it data quality services?
Yes.
And, how do people see master data services? You know, so that was kind of why I was asking, just out of curiosity. I think there's, I was wondering how many people, I've never used it, I know what it is, but I was wondering how many people actually know what it is and have used it.
It's kind of it's certainly not as well known as some of other Microsoft products,
right.
But there is a loyal user base of it, and it's growing.
So it's been in 2008 R2. Has there been significant changes? Let's forget about 16 for a minute. Has there been significant changes? You know, 2012, 2014.
There were significant changes for 2012,
okay.
And then Microsoft decided to stop investing in master data services for a time,
okay.
And there were no major changes for 2014. But then we've had a lot of customers that have been requesting new features, so Microsoft decided to reinvest for the 2016 release and address the most popular feature requests.
So what are the most popular feature requests then? Or do we want to hold on that for a second?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about
okay.
How Master Data Services helps users manage their master data, and then we can go into a couple of the features that we'll be demoing for today. So what MDS provides, MDS is a master data platform that enables customers to model their master data through the use of entities, attributes, and hierarchies. It allows them to version their master data. It provides the ability for them to define business rules that will validate their master data.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows them to control access of who can see and interact with the master data through rule-based security. Now, as far as user interfaces, out of the box, it comes with a web application and also an Excel add-in. It comes with a web service that allows customers to write their own UIs if they so desire.
Okay.
And for customers that want to interact directly with SQL Server, we provide entity-based staging for loading values into your master data, and users can define subscription views for read-only access to that data.
Okay. So let's see a demo.
Okay, so let's talk about the first one, Entity Sync.
Okay.
This is in response to a customer request, of course, as they all are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mentioned that Master Data Services allows you to model your data with entities. An entity is kind of analogous to a database table. And inside of MDS, a model contains a set of entities.
Okay.
So here on the main landing page, you see a drop-down list, and what we're looking at now is just a sample database that we've created for the purposes of this demo.
Okay.
So we have multiple models. Now, models are independent of each other. That is, an entity that's inside of one model cannot take a dependency on an entity that's in another model.
Okay.
Now, it can be a pain point, because let's say, for example, you have an entity that has commonly used data that you'd like to share across multiple models. Say, for example, an entity that contains a list of postal codes.
Right.
In the past, the way that customers would do that is they could use, say, model deployment, for example, to make a copy of that entity and copy it into their other model. But that's kind of cumbersome to do manually, and then it's cumbersome to manage syncs.
Yeah,
as the source data continues to change, you have to manually repeat that process in the target.
Okay.
And it's doable, but it's cumbersome. So we added the ability to automatically sync entities across models to automate that process and make it easier
for
users.
Oh, okay. So if I have an entity that exists in multiple models, I can sync from one model to the other models.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so for this demo, we're going to talk about the customer model. Now, the customer model contains an entity called occupation. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at that. It's simple. It only has a few members in it.
Oh, okay.
So what we're looking at now is the Explorer view. It's right. A table with rows and columns. In this case, we've got just a handful of different occupations. Mm-hmm. And at present, it's being used by the customer entity so that you can specify what each customer's occupation is. Well, let's say that we want to do the same thing for the employee model. The employee model contains an employee entity, which is a list of employees, and we want to be able to specify what their occupation is as well. So what we will do is we will go into the system administration page, and we will manage entity sync relationships. At present in this database, we don't have any, so we will create a new one. Now, when you're creating a sync relationship, you have to define what the source data is and what the target data is. Now, a sync relationship is a mapping between a source entity version and a target entity version. So in this case, we want to pull our data from the customer model.
Yeah, that's the data we just looked at.
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll grab the latest version of that data. And then we'll specify the customer entity inside of that model. Now, for the... No, I'm sorry, I picked the wrong entity.
Yeah, we wanted the...
The occupation.
Yep.
Right. So for the target setting, we mentioned we wanted to do the employee model. And again, we'll grab whatever the latest version happens to be. Now, when you're creating a sync relationship, you can create a new entity on the target, or you can try to have MDS match it up with an existing entity if you happen to have one that matches. In this case, we're creating a new one.
So there is no occupation entity in employee model right now?
Not at present.
Okay.
So for the purposes of demo, I'm just going to give it a different name just so that we can distinguish it from the original. And also, you can choose to either sync on demand, mm-hmm. or you can set it up to sync on a regular schedule. You can specify the interval, but for the purposes of this demo, we'll keep it simple and just do a sync on demand.
On demand, okay.
Now it creates the sync relationship at this point, and then it makes a copy of the entity on the target model. And this can sometimes take a little bit. In this case, it was a very small entity, so it didn't take long. And now here on our entity sync management page, we see a single row in the table for the sync relationship we just created. And there's a handy link here that we can click on that will take us to the copy we just created.
Okay.
So again, it's the Entity Explorer page. And we'll notice that we're seeing the exact same data. The only difference you'll notice is this little padlock icon, mm-hmm. which indicates that this is a read-only copy.
Okay.
An entity that is a sync target can only be modified through the sync process.
Oh, okay. So I can't go in and modify this, because I can't go in and manually modify this data in this entity.
Not in the target entity. You could do that in the source entity if you had permission to do so.
Right, okay. Explain to me a little bit, again, I'm not very proficient in MDS, so I can have multiple versions of an entity?
Yes.
Okay, and so they can have different data in that entity, and what does that provide me, just out of curiosity?
Well, with the versioning comes the ability to set a version as either locked or committed. Like, say, for example, that you have a chart of accounts entity, and every month you have to have a different set of data.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the month, you could then lock that version and spawn a new version based upon the old one. So someone could be working on version 2 while someone else could be working on version 1, and those changes will be independent of each other.
Ah, I see. Okay.
So the master data is versioned. However, the metadata is not. So all of the attributes, all the entities will be the same in all of the versions of a particular model.
But the data in that could be different.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Oh, okay.
Okay, so...
So can I set up... another question I have is go back to the sync. Is it let's say I've got like you went back and like
creating
click,
a sync relationship,
yeah,
or editing this existing one.
Click add for a second,
okay.
Or maybe even edit. Let's see if edit does the existing one. So I can can I only do one target at a time? Because you had multiple models.
Mm-hmm.
Can I only do one at a time?
Yes.
Right.
A sync relationship is a mapping just between one source and target entity version.
Okay.
You could create multiple sync relationships that all have the same source.
But okay, that's my point, right? So I could say if I have multiple models, I have to create, okay, I want to push this occupation into this model, then create another one to push it into this model, another one to push it into that model.
Right.
Okay. But at least I have the ability to sync to multiple models.
Yes.
Okay.
So now that we've created a copy of the occupation entity, let's actually take a dependency on that.
Okay.
And we do that by... So we're in the model management page now, so we'll go to our employee model that we've just added that entity to, and we'll manage the entities.
Okay.
And here we'll see that copy of the occupation model that we just created.
Yep.
Now we want to take a dependency on that, so we'll add that dependency to the employee entity. Now entities take dependencies on each other through what's called a domain-based attribute, or DBA. It's kind of like a foreign key in a database.
Oh, okay, yeah, yep.
So in this case, we'll create a new attribute. And I'll just give it the same name, occupation. Since it's domain-based, we'll select that radio button. Now with a domain-based attribute, you have to select what is your domain entity.
Is that the occupation copy?
There it is, thank you.
So that's the source for in this model. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so once I save that off, all right, now let's go to the Explorer page for the employee model. And we should now see inside of that entity a new column, a new attribute that references the occupation. So as you can see, the employee entity already has many attributes. And if we scroll down to the bottom here, is the new one we just created, occupation.
Okay.
And if we open up that drop-down list, we will see the members of the occupation entity.
Okay.
So let's just change a couple values. Let's say that John Wood here is management. And let's change Annette Hill to professional. Now let's go change our source data. Let's say that we decided we wanted to add a new occupation.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, so let's do engineer. And let's modify one of the existing members that we just took a dependency on. Let's modify management, and I'll just change its value. Now, since we chose an on-demand sync, that means we have to manually go and tell it to refresh that sync relationship.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, right? And so we've changed. Okay, yeah, so let's make that, okay.
And we'll click execute. And it succeeded. Now, if we go back to the copy and we refresh this page, we should see those changes that we just made.
So we're looking at the employee. Yep, the employee model.
So there's our new engineer, and there's the change to management.
Okay.
And if we go to the employee entity and we refresh this page, we should likewise see those changes reflected herein.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that too, because you said, hey, we're going to go change some data in our entity. So how does that reflect now in the employee?
So you notice that the change to management is visible here. Now let's change Annette and give her a dependency on that new occupation we created, engineer.
Okay, engineer. But this dependency is not on our, in this example, our dependent, this dependency is dependent on the occupation entity in our employee model, correct?
Yes.
All right, so if anything, and since we can't change manually, like we talked about earlier, since we manually can't change the occupation data in our employee model, we have to go change it at the source, sync it, and then see it here. But this dependency is on within the model.
It's on the copy.
On the copy. Okay.
Now it's possible that a change we could make could cause an error. Like for example, the engineer member we just added. What if we delete that?
At the source.
At the source.
Okay.
We have a dependency on. So let's go ahead and delete him. Now, when we try to sync, we should see an error because the target has a dependency on that.
Okay, yeah.
Now, let's confirm that that actually happens. So we'll execute again.
Yeah, so that should throw an error.
It should, and it did earlier today when I last ran through this. So, yeah, I'll need to investigate why that's failing. But
okay. Yeah,
if it were working properly, it would give you an error that tells you that there is an incompatibility, and in order to resolve that, you'd have to go to your target destination, remove that dependency, and then sync would succeed.
Go back. Oh, okay. So we'd have to. So if this said we'd get an error here. So we'd have to actually go back.
to where we're taking the dependency.
Yep, and we'd have to change, since you removed engineer, you'd have to actually go change the occupation to or the occupation from engineer to some other value, right? And then you'd be able to resync,
right?
Because there's no dependency there.
And okay. the error message it gives you would tell you exactly which entity and which member of that entity okay. has the conflict, so that it's easy to go in and fix your data.
Right.
So that's it for the entity sync demo.
Okay.
Now let's go on and talk about some of the enhancements to the Hierarchy Explorer. And for this one, we will, again, look at the customer model. Now, MDS has the ability to for the user to define what are called derived hierarchies that,
okay.
that capture the relationships between entities through their domain-based attributes. So in this case, I've created a hierarchy that groups customers by the zip code of their address, and it groups zip code by the city that the zip code pertains to, and it groups city by the state.
Yeah.
So let's go to that hierarchy. So in this particular sample, we can see at the root of the hierarchy all of the different states in our sample database.
And that's pulling data from an entity?
Yes.
Okay.
So we've got four entities in play here. State,
okay.
state province, city, postal code, and customer.
Okay.
So if we were to expand, say, the California state, we would see all of the cities that pertain to California in our database. And if we expand the city Bellflower, we'll see all the postal codes. And if we expand one of the postal codes, we'll see all the customers that live in that postal code.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So this is...
Can you kind of look at this as like a... just you throw this out there. Kind of like a view. I'm pulling a view that pulls this information out.
Yes. Okay. You can also modify it, too.
Yeah, okay.
Change relationships.
Ah, okay.
Now, this is old functionality, but what's new, however, is there didn't used to be an easy way to see members that do not participate in this hierarchy.
Okay.
Say, for example, you had a city that didn't have a state. It wouldn't show up anywhere in this hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Or likewise, if you had a customer that was missing a zip code, it wouldn't show up.
Okay.
Which makes it kind of difficult to manage the data, because then you have to go back and forth between the Hierarchy Explorer and the Entity Explorer to
yeah.
see and to change those members. So what we've added in the 2016 release is this little node down here, unused, in which you can see members that do not participate in the hierarchy.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Now, if I expand it, you'll notice that there is one node per level, except for the topmost level.
Right, okay.
So here, if I expand this node, I will see all the cities that don't have a state province.
Okay.
And this one is all the postal codes that don't have a city, and lastly, all the customers that don't have a postal code.
Oh, interesting. So it groups them by, within the hierarchy.
Right.
Okay.
So in this example, in our sample data, we have two cities here that pertain to Greek mythology that don't have a state.
Okay. Yeah.
And likewise, I've added to the database a zip code, a non-existent zip code that doesn't have a city.
Yep.
And I don't think we have any customers without a postal code in this example, but we could easily create one.
Right.
So this makes it easy to move things back and forth. Let's say, for example, that we decide that these two Greek mythological cities really belong in Wyoming. We could cut and paste them over to Wyoming.
Wow, that easy. Holy cow.
And now when you click on Wyoming here, you'll notice that these two Greek cities now have Wyoming as their state province.
Very nice.
And you can also drag and drop to accomplish the same thing. It's easier for one-at-a-time movements, but the cut and paste is easier for
right.
batch changes.
Okay.
I'll just put that back in the unused node. Now, not only can you see and modify unused members, you can also apply member security to them, which is
okay.
a new feature as well. And another new hierarchy feature that we added is the ability to show many-to-many relationships. What we're looking at now is a one-to-many relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Each city only has one state,
right.
but a state could have multiple cities. You could, however, have a many-to-many relationship you want to model. And to demonstrate that, we will look at the employee model. First, I'm going to show a slide just to identify the data relationship we're talking about here. So here we've got the employee entity,
mm-hmm.
and we've got a training class entity that lists a bunch of different classes that the employees can register for and take.
Yep.
Now, a student could be registered for multiple classes, and a class could have multiple students. So
right.
it's a many-to-many relationship. That relationship is defined by a third entity, which serves as a mapping table.
Yep.
This entity has a domain-based attribute that references the employee entity, identifies the student, and it also has a DBA for the class that identifies the class he's registered for.
Yep, so typical many-to-many.
Right.
Yeah.
So now one cool thing about many-to-many relationships is that you can invert the relationship. You can create a hierarchy that shows students grouped by class. Mm-hmm. You can also show classes grouped by student. Now in this example, we're showing students grouped by class. So in this particular sample data, we've got 9 different classes that we've added. And if we expand any one of these nodes, we can see which employees are registered for that class. And to demonstrate that this truly is a many-to-many relationship, you'll notice that there is member duplication. For example, this guy, member code 6, he is registered for both Master Data Services and also Career Limiting Moves. Now, in the unused node, we'll see all of the employees who are not currently registered for any classes.
Okay.
And in this case, that's most of the employees.
Right, okay.
So hundreds of them down here.
Gotcha.
Now, if we invert it and show classes grouped by student, at the root of the hierarchy, we'll see all the students, which is, again, that really long list.
Yep.
And then if we expand it, we will see the classes they are registered for. So, for example,
number 6.
Yeah, number 6 was the one we were looking at.
Yeah, he's in a couple. Yep.
So there's the 2 classes they registered for. And then in the unused node, we'll see all of the classes that nobody is registered for.
So we should have,
which in this case is COBOL. No one wants to learn about COBOL anymore.
Darn it.
And so these are just some of the new features that we are adding in SQL Server 2016 for MDS. Yeah.
Okay. This is fantastic. So these are the part of the top two or three features that customers have been asking for quite some time, I guess, since about 2012.
Yes, we've done surveys with the customers and asked them, how would you like this product to be even better? And then we use that to decide where to focus our investments.
Now, and is this interface the primary way people are using this? Or are they, like you said, there's a plug-in to Excel. Are people pulling up Excel and pulling in this data doing the same view, kind of the same view this way, but through Excel? Or what's the biggest way people are kind of using this?
I would guesstimate that the Excel interface is more popular than this one, because it makes it easier to make bulk changes, whereas here you're just changing generally one member at a time.
Yeah, one member at a time.
And also, one of the new features that we're adding to Excel is the ability to manipulate hierarchies, which we didn't have before.
Okay.
So, yes, and some customers like to roll their own interface.
Right. Oh, interesting. So I can, is there like an API or kind of something that they can?
Yes, there's a web service API. Web service.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is fantastic. All right. So I think this will be, so if they have questions, so is this, I'm assuming, available in CTP 2.3?
Yes.
Right? So if you haven't downloaded CTP 2.3, if they have questions about some of these new features or problems, how do they get answers? Can they reach out to you through Connect? What's the best way to provide feedback on these features?
Oh, there's multiple venues. I can get you a list of those at a later time. I don't have them off the top of my head.
You know, so we'll put them in the description of the show. That way, when you watch the show, you can write down there in the description and figure out what the best way to provide feedback. So anyway, hey, thank you for coming. This has been fantastic. I think this is awesome. I learned a lot more about Master Data Services than I did before. This is great. So thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Hey, everybody, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.